Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Welcome back, Nerida. You might actually need to speak right into the microphone there, Nerida.
That's okay. Really good.
It's funny. People get a bit afraid of microphones. Put it right up there. Yeah, yeah. Come on,
nice and close.
Nice and close. Nice and close.
So how are you going, Nerida? How are things?
Good. Cool. It's a classic righteous response.
Good. Especially when people say it in A minor. How are you? Good.
Yeah, the tonality goes up a notch.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really interesting times. I feel like there's a lot of shake-up of the foundations of my life going on right now.
Yep.
And choosing to meet that by playing a much bigger game.
Good.
Which
is both exciting and nerve-wracking
at the same time,
as one
it?
Would expect.
Yeah.
Aim high, baby. Aim high. Cool. So
aim high. I was like, I thought he's saying hi, baby. I'm like, said. Did you? Oh,
no,
that's good.
Aim high.
Awkward. I was going to say, we got some great feedback off your last podcast joining us, and today we're going to talk a little bit more of an extension of what we kind of spoke about before. But before we do, have you got a song of the moment that you might want to
share? I actually thought about it this time.
Did you? Go.
Yeah,
what's your song?
My song right now is Feeling Good by Michael Bublé. I put it on and it just gets me in the groove.
Give us a couple
give
of bars.
Give me a bars.
What? No.
No.
Yeah. Like I'm feeling good.
Oh, yeah. He's good, isn't he? He's a big fan base. He's loved old Michael Bublé.
Yeah, yeah. I find him quite entertaining.
Mm.
And just because, like, he's quite real as well in his socials and everything. Like, he laughs a lot about how he's actually quite feral at home. And
right.
You know, but he's got this, obviously the fan base is like, oh, my God, you're so sexy. but, you know, we're all also slobs. So
yes.
I like the balancing act.
That's good. Cool. That's really good. Cool. Okay.
All right. Well, why don't you lead us in and talk about what you like, what you wanted to sort of start off with in terms of an extension of, you know, that last chat.
And our last chat was really about the feminine and masculine energies, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So masculine, feminine energy, obviously, you know, as we spoke about last time, you can see it expressed in the outer world and you can actually use the outer world to understand your inner world a lot through that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other way in which masculine and feminine energy is really well utilized is understanding what's going on within your body and the emotional expressions that is happening through the physical form. And how that kind of interplays as well. So the feminine energy is held in the left side of your body, the masculine energy is in the right side of the body. And so the feminine energy is really about your inner world, right? Mm-hmm. So it's your relationship to yourself that nobody else sees.
Mm.
Whereas the masculine is very much the outer world and what you show of yourself outside of yourself. So there can be quite contradictory experiences in the left and right sides of your body, and we often find that people will have one side of the body shows up ailments on a continuous basis, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all on the left or it's all on the right.
Right.
And there's also a secondary element where it's related to those foundational relationships that you have with mum and dad. So stuff with your mum is going to show up on your left side, stuff with your dad's going to show up on your right side as well. So there's those pieces in play as well, which is always fun to kind of expand into. So you're able to, with a bit of education and stuff, you can actually read the physical form and find out what's actually going on for a person because, as we know, the mind is nonsense, right? It's completely delusional and it tells you porcupines all of the time and you can go on stories upon stories upon stories, whereas the body is beautiful in the sense that it doesn't lie. It doesn't have that capacity. And so what it expresses is the truth of the moment for that individual. And so we can see specific things that might be coming up or like levels in which are being shown to the person at that time. But we can also see personality traits, ways of meeting the world as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I'm like a bull out of the gate most of the time with anything that I approach. And you can see that in my nose. I've got like a little bit of a ski jump on my nose.
Right.
And that's one of the indicators of that kind of behaviour. The other thing is I get cracked heels sometimes, which is very heel digging.
So
it shows my stubborn nature, right?
Right, right.
So we can actually unpack the physical
form. I'm feeling very attacked at the moment.
Mm-hmm. You see, I always thought that thing on the end of the nose was a landing pad for small birds for me.
Well, I mean, you know, double benefits. Right?
It's a funny thing, though, how, you know, there's obviously that great book by Annette Newentil called The Body's the Barometer of the Soul, and there's been some extraordinary research done into the relationship between mind, body, food, that's really, really great research. I think one of the things that happens, I think for me over time, I had this experience where I started to realize that my body and my mind was lying to me all the time because it was fractured.
Mm.
So the mind lies because it's fractured. So it's full of half the story.
Yeah.
And half the story is a lie because it's either a minimization or a maximization of what didn't happen.
Yeah.
Which is, if you can get your head around it, that's cool. But also that, you know, we're raised thinking that your mind is separate to your body, you know, your consciousness is separate to your body. Your body's one thing, your mind is something else, your brain does something else.
Which is just not true. No, absolutely.
There's an intrinsic dance happening between all of them all of the time, and they're all interconnected, all interrelated.
They're all constantly changing as well. Like one of my favorite things in the psychosomatic field is doing face readings with people, both before and then after a transformative experience. And it's interesting how much the face form will actually change, even in a period of hours, right? And so you can see it so clearly in that way of how the body shifts in relationship to the emotional experience of the person.
Yeah.
So it's just a really easy in to that whole world, which is, you know, mile deep sort of.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's a huge bloody rabbit hole.
Yeah, it is.
So what's the point of even knowing that? Like why read a person or why understand that?
Yeah, so for me, I can speak to my own experience of it. So I had done a lot of work through the mind for my own personal development, and I found myself sitting at the beach one day and I saw the kids were playing in the waves and the birds were, you know, doing their bird thing and waves were crashing and it was just, sun was setting, like it was a beautiful day, and I just sat there miserable, angry. Like, really, I was just so resentful and so pissed off. And I was pissed off about stuff that had happened years beforehand that wasn't even in my environment anymore. And I just remember thinking, like, I don't know how to get this emotion out of my body. And the emotion was feeding then into the mind. And then the mind, it sort of like it was exacerbating the story of the delusion of that fractured state. So for me, that's what I wanted to resolve. I wanted to get out of that looped experience of the same emotion over and over and over again, because it was clear to me that my life was not what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need the resentment in my life anymore. And in fact, that was actually blocking me from being present with my kids, with myself. And so the body work element of it for me first attracted me. I wanted to get into the body and to release the emotions that were stored there so that I could be free in my mind and in my heart. And it certainly did that. Like, after my first bodywork experience, I think I was high as a kite for about 6 months. So, and then there was a balancing period after that. You know, you've got to balance out. But it's quite interesting how it does impact the mind as well as we move through it. So that was my first indication into it. Other people want to understand why they're experiencing the same kind of ailments or injuries or you know, even I suppose that was part of it for me as well. Like, I had alopecia become part of my life when I was 19. My hair fell out, and so I wanted to understand much deeper what is that about? Like, what is that emotional relevance to that, so that I could either just come to peace with it and just, you know, and I was at peace with it to a degree, but there's always that questioning underneath it.
Yeah.
Or see if I can actually move beyond it as well. And so there's that other piece where if people are experiencing, especially chronic conditions, where they've tried things to quote unquote heal themselves or fix themselves or whatever, however you want to language that, and they just keep on hitting the same walls and nothing's working, they want to understand what's a little bit below that, like what's actually driving that. And
right.
We can do that through understanding the emotions that are creating it.
Mm-hmm. So, like, are you okay to talk a little bit about your experience in terms of that? Because, like, you still have that the condition, right?
Yeah.
It's not like that's disappeared.
No.
So what how does understand, because, you know, if someone's got an ailment, oftentimes they'll be wanting to, let's sort this out so we can get rid of that.
Yeah.
And that's valid as well. Absolutely. And sometimes that can happen because they can they can sort out on a mental level, emotional level, and on a physical level.
Yeah.
But there's times where you can't sort it out on a, or it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So can you just talk about that a bit?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely been cases where I've worked on somebody and the injury, ailment, whatever, resolves itself in that one session or over a period of sessions. But then there are absolutely the cases where you do the work and you gain a deeper understanding, and the healing is actually in coming to peace with what is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I feel like that is, for me anyway, is the alopecia, is coming to peace with what is. And I see that the alopecia is a part of my life journey in my trauma story, or the thing that I'm here to learn about in this existence, mm-hmm. On the earth, and that is the idea of rejection for me. Is it seems to be the reoccurring theme. It's like that one's got tendrils that go deep, deep into the earth. There's layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of that same story. And so I used to get quite frustrated that it was the constant story that came up. But now I'm kind of like, this is just my life. This is what I'm here to learn. So, and if you look at what is the remedy to rejection, it's self-acceptance. Mm-hmm. And so for me now, it's more about, it's just that reminder of this is my pathway to self-acceptance, actually. Right. And so one of the funny things about the alopecia is that I only ever notice other people's perception around it, whether there's people staring or whether it's little kids going, mummy, all of the things. I only ever notice that if I'm wobbling with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so it becomes that the mirror for me of where am I at with my own self-acceptance, and it brings me back quite quickly. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Think that that's very powerful, in the sense that you're then in charge of how you see, how you feel about it. Do you know what I mean? You start to recognize that, you know, you work with so many people, we've worked with so many people that prior to having done any work, it's like a blaming thing and when you can start to take responsibility for the fact that however you see yourself is how you're getting reflected back to you, it makes such an impact. Do you know what I mean? Because then you're not waiting for something on the outside to change in order for you to feel differently about yourself.
And this is the beautiful thing, right? Do I need hair in order to feel beautiful, mm-hmm. or sexy or accepted, mm-hmm. or loved or any of the other things? Mm-hmm. No, I don't need that.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. it's very much an external surface level of who I am that mm-hmm. doesn't represent who I truly am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the moments you forget it, it's life showing you, we have to go back there and we have to remind ourselves. Yeah,
yeah. Come
but
back in.
But I think there's a really important message there in relation to anybody who is unwell. You know, it's that whole concept of, you know, I don't want to be sick, right? So mm-hmm. they put their energy into fighting it rather than going, okay, this is just the journey right now.
Yeah.
And none of this is permanent. None of this is real. And my objective is to just, you know, love myself no matter what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember years ago watching a piece on Oprah, and it was a young kid came out and she had got through cancer and lived, and there, you know, I can't remember the full story, but it was a pretty big cancer experience for such a young child. And then Oprah asked her, so how do you believe you cured the cancer? And the kid just put her arms around herself and said, I loved it. And then the kid went, yeah, you know, I stopped and I realized what it was doing, that it had pulled my family together, it had pulled all the kids together, it had, you know, people had come out of themselves. And she was like, I watched people go from pity to love.
Yeah.
You know, I watched people go from feeling sorry for me to actually loving me no matter what. Yeah. And she said, that seemed to be, and then I had to do that for myself.
Yeah.
I had to not pity myself, I had to love me no matter what. Mm-hmm. And then she went on to speak about the fact that, you know, we're not this physical thing. We're energy, we're so much more. And so I think it's the fight for that mortal life is what costs us the immortal view of what we are, mm-hmm. you know, that we are immortal beings.
Yeah.
And you know, we know now that energy doesn't die, it it regenerates and it just drops form and changes form, mm-hmm. and we're doing that all of the time. I think that in terms of people, that when you look at people who are ill, I think one of the most important steps is to stop and just love whatever is going on.
100%.
Stop and see the love.
And it's much like, you know, we talk about this a lot at MJB, as far as your life is and your challenges are bringing you back to yourself. It's all trying to show you the same thing, that you are love, right? Your body is exactly the same. And so your body will do whatever it takes to get you to see yourself truly.
Yeah.
And, you know, regardless of what that actually is.
So I feel like that it's about using... Because like you said, a lot of people come along and they do personal development work or human development work, and they look at how they see things, which is important, like so important, because how they see things materializes on their body and materializes in their lives around them, right? But we were talking prior to jumping on live, and people have to – you can work the other way as well, you know? Yeah. Like you work with the emotional and it affects the physical. But then you work with the physical and it affects the emotional, which anybody who even just shifts their way of eating, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or shifts the energy that they're putting in, the life force that they're putting in, will notice the output shifting. So if you're going to work on the physical, that includes how you move your body, how you communicate with your body, I imagine, how you like body work in any way, also affects in reverse the emotional, right?
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting because, you know, we can get that from a sense of, you know, if anybody's ever gone on a exercise journey, right, you want to get fit and healthy into your body, you're going to notice that your confidence improves, right? You start feeling stronger in yourself emotionally and mentally as well, not just physically, because it's the same thing, right? But the cool thing about the body, and it's specifically around like how we read the body, it's very similar as far as the fractured state. So somebody who has a very, very strong body, very over muscled, you know, really, really fit, healthy, like a weightlifter, right, is doing the same thing emotionally as somebody who's quite soft and round, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same protection mechanism taking place. It's just in a different
form.
Different form. Mm. So, yeah, I find it really interesting, the crossovers between the work.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a funny thing, you know. It's like when the effects of doing something emotionally to the physical body is immediate. Mm-hmm. But it's same with the physical body to the emotional body. You go and exercise. If you're just get up in the morning, like I had a tough day yesterday at home. I was off center, and I was, you know, by the time I got to the end of the day, the three kids wanted to kill me, and Andrew was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you just came into the house and you just blew everybody up. You know, well, you weren't here last week and it was quiet and now you're back and like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I remember I went around and spoke to all the kids individually, but I knew the thing that I need to do is I need to move.
Yeah.
I have to move. I need to get out and move. And if I can't move, then I feel better, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's trapped energy, right? So as soon as you... It's got to express itself one way. So if it's not going to express itself in... If you find yourself expressing it this way, expressing it through exercise makes a massive difference.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get out in the morning. I get up in the morning and I'm out with the guys training and like I feel like a bazillion times better, you know, and I come back and my mind opens up. I talk better. I communicate better. I communicate with the guys better. I communicate with the kids better.
Because you're opening up the pathway as well. Like, so, you know, reading the body as well has the element of the chakras in it and understanding, you know, there's different resonance of emotion and those that resonance will kind of seat itself to different parts of the body where that resonance is mirrored and that thus the chakras, right? So in the base you've got all of the safety, security stuff and the sacral creativity, etc., etc., etc. And what I find really interesting is that it's our identity or our solar plexus is often in the place where your waist kind of hourglasses comes in a little bit. And it demonstrates the constriction that we have around who we perceive that we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're moving and when we're opening up those pathways and making sure that there's a clear flow between the base and the sacral up into the heart, which is then how we express, then we have a greater capacity to actually tap into who we truly are, our primal nature, and what we're here to create and to give to the world. So it is through that movement and through opening up the pathways that you find yourself. more truly, because it's the identity that gets in the way.
Yeah. I want to be seen as this. I am that.
Yeah, and okay. I can't possibly be this. Yeah.
So just to finish off, I'm going to throw you under the bus now for a second. Yeah. Okay. I want you to read something about Mitch, and I want you to read something about me in terms of our faces or whatever. I know, I've just chucked you under the bus.
Okay, turn side profile for me. Turn the other way. So you've still got your parents' voice in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that I can see that is through your hairline. So you know how it comes in sort of and it squares out here and then kind of goes back in.
Right.
So this little triangle here will dictate whether or not somebody has their parents' voice still playing out.
Right.
Now, the cool thing is that you can actually influence that quite easily by either shaving it or waxing it.
Right.
And I've had experiences where where people have waxed it, it hasn't grown back, and literally within like 5 minutes they're like...
Their parents die.
No. God, no. But it's sort of like, you know, they don't have, they're like, it's quiet.
Right.
I don't hear it anymore. And so that's quite interesting.
Right.
So that I'll leave you on that one.
Okay.
I've got lots to say about your nose, but that's another day.
Well, it's a lot of cocaine over a lot of years, hon.
Okay. I'm just moving my head.
Yeah, turn the other way. I like it. Yeah.
If so I flutter my eyelashes at you, will that help? No, go on.
It can. Well, so, your eyebrows are really interesting. But I feel more drawn to your lips, actually. So it's interesting the different parts of the body that will call you at any point in time. So your lips are what really stands out to me. And the lips really represent your sensuality. And so it's the way that which you communicate and also the way in which you kind of move with your sexual energy as well. So your mouth psychosomatically is your genitals,
mm-hmm.
which is very interesting. If you think
I didn't realise that and knew that last, like, maybe about a year
Holy
ago.
Holy fucking, you cannot say that shit. Your mouth is your genitals.
It is because it's yeah. the mouth is formed at the same time in your in your development as your genitals are.
Yeah. And wow. There's a nerve that goes from the back of your throat down into your genitals as well. And so your lips represent a lot when it comes to like sexual energy, which is really, really cool. So the bottom lip is more around how you communicate. The top lip is more around like your sexual drive, your sexual energy. And so you get people who have a really pointy bit on the top of the lip.
Right.
They are sex deviates, those ones.
Right.
They love it. Like it's really interesting.
I'll be cutting that fucker off my three kids when I go home, I can tell.
But for you, Mills, it's like they're just so full and plump and lovely, and it just really like it kind of represents or kind of ties into other things that we can see in your face, like your cheeks as well. Like you've got such a whirlpool of this beautiful creative energy, and that is definitely shown through your lips.
I think you can stick around, Nerida. I like that.
I think she's blushing right now. So I'm fucked up with my parents though. And she's got good rounded energy.
Fucked up, but there's communication still taking place in your brain.
Wow, well, that was really cool.
More so with your dad.
There you go. Yeah. Jesus, that's all right. I gave him a belting today when he came in.
Lovely talking to you as usual, Nerida. It was lovely. I really love having these chats. And I'm sure we'll touch base again soon. Yeah. We've got lots to talk about.
Yeah,
lots more to talk about. Cool.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, pal. Even if you live the most extraordinary life, there is always more to learn. This is why tens of thousands of people are using MJB Seminars techniques to hack their consciousness and bridge the gap from where they are to where they actually want to be.
MJB Seminars use cutting-edge transformational processes that are science-based and backed to help people break through subconscious barriers and limiting beliefs in order to reset, reboot, and live inspired. If you'd like to know more today, Google search MJB Seminars Bridge the Gap. Click on the first link and watch the video.
Now, for simply watching the video, you will also receive a complimentary coaching session with one of our master coaches valued at over $600 to help you get traction in your life today. Remember, live life inspired.